Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Body and the Beast podcast. Coming straight into your ears for the next few hours are your awesome hosts, Dan Meredith and Jamie Alderton.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Body and the Beast podcast. I am your body, Jamie Alderton.
And I am your romantic beast, Dan Meredith.
Mr. Meredith. How are you?
Do you know what? I am in a jovial mood because me and you, as we've said before, we always plan our podcasts out so we know what we're talking about, have a few topics. And this week it is coming out, this podcast. It's been Valentine's Day a few days prior. So I just thought it'd be fun to call this the Valentine's Day special. And what name did you come up with? Which literally gave me Ebola of the brain.
Live, laugh, love.
Oh, fucking hell. That is absolutely dire.
Yeah, it's one of those memes, isn't it? And what's funny, I actually saw two different places in my house not long ago with saying live, laugh, love.
Oh, and no. It's quite funny, to be honest. And I really like Anna as well, yeah. But you're going to have to get rid of her now. That's a shame. She's lovely.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, I just decided to get rid of the actual
pictures. Know what? Option two. I'll be honest, I think I came with a slightly more extreme version there, didn't I?
Yeah, well, this is going to be a good podcast because we're talking all about love, Dan, because it's just Valentine's Day gone. And, you know, my views on love aren't the most romantic. But at the same time, I have been with my wife, Anna, for 26 years. And I'm just, you know, sharing not only what I've learned in that time, but also some of the readings and knowledge from some other people that I listen to and agree with, such as Alain de Botton, which is an absolute legend in the love game.
And I have made a selection of choices over the years where I have learnt many a lesson that I will share today, as well as my thoughts on love and romance and affection. And I am, as of recording, very happy to say that I may, fingers crossed, finally have cracked that code with a wonderful human who has come into my life now, which after, and I was very open with this at the time, obviously having a bit of a sad summer last year. It has rekindled my, you know, thoughts on all things love and romance. And, you know, even though I'm a big burly beast, I do believe in such things. And also I'm going to give some advice as well, because I myself went down, let's just say, a very different rabbit hole thanks to social media, where I started seeing, you know, what you should be as like a man and in romance and how relationships are. And I just decided that stuff needs to go fuck itself, because there are wonderful people out there that you can connect with and bond with and fall in love with. And, you know, me and Jay, very, very different lives, but I think we've got some good, you know, things to share on this, and it should be quite a fun one as well. So this is kind of going to be a freestyle discussion on all things love and romance and, you know, our take on that.
So with me, I just want to give a bit of a disclaimer
before I go into this.
I think I need to be, and it is this. A lot of what I'm going to say, your responses will be, well, that's not very romantic, or that doesn't, you know, I don't want to hear this kind of thing. Or even going, well, you know, Jay's not the most lovable person. Jay's not the most romantic person. Jay's not, you know, getting with the spirit of it all. And to that I say, go fuck yourself.
Well, which is
in the nicest way humanly possible. Firstly, I am.
Yep.
But secondly, a lot of what I'm going to talk about here, and, you know, people are thinking that, you know, in Valentine's, this is going to be kind of a nicety podcast. And the reality is, it is, if you take the information on board, because what I want for every single person out there is to find somebody and be happy and have a long, loving relationship. But in order to have that, you need to face some home truths, and they are not nice things to talk about. They're also not the best things to really understand. because it kind of chucks every single chick flick that you've seen out the window from the last decade. And of course, a lot of reasons why people struggle with falling in love, finding the one, is because of Hollywood, to be honest. Because a lot of the films which you see, they live happily ever after once they've found the one. But they're in this infatuation stage and then they finish the film. And it's like, well, you've only just got fucking started. You know, you haven't even moved in together or you know, you haven't even figured out who's doing the fucking laundry. And, you know, we laugh at this, but this is the reality of life, is that we aim to find this spark. We aim to find this one. And what we're hoping for is to fall in love. And love, of course, is this really weird feeling. And a lot of people get it mixed up with infatuation.
Yep.
But it is this kind of, it's this bonding thing with somebody else. You know, if they feel it and you feel it, you know, we connect and then hopefully we can grow from there. But what happens 9 times out of 10 is that you fall in love with the wrong person. You are blinkered and blinded by love. So you very much, once again, are hyper-focused on the things that you like about somebody. And because you like so many things about them, you kind of block out the things that make them a bit of a dick. And it's not until you go a bit further down the relationship that you realize, actually, the warning signals were when that person yelled at the waitress on our first date. And you're like, yeah, they did. And now you're realizing the mistake that you made. So it's really understanding these thoughts and feelings. And of course, I've got very strong opinions about this, because I've fucked up a hell of a lot with regards to my own relationship. I've spoken to a lot of people about their own relationships too. And one of the things that you've got to learn about love and romance is that what you're essentially doing to somebody else, with somebody else, is letting them into your own world of your complexities, your weirdness, and your vulnerabilities. And it's very hard to open that door to somebody and expose yourself for who you really are, because you have two selves. You have the self that you show to everybody, you know, everybody that's not within your circle, and then you have the, you know, the self that you show yourself to your inner circle. And some people have more selves. People have their, like, a social media self, yep, and they have their normal self. And you, of course, I guarantee you've come across some people in the past that are wonderful online and
absolute
in their videos
fucking and weapons in real life.
Yes, and they're very, very good actors, so to speak. So I think I got this from Alain Botton, and it's not the best question to ask somebody when you first meet them, but it's like sitting them down and going, what way are you fucked up? And them talking about their childhood, talking about their anxieties and fears and frustrations, talking about the little things that worry and concern them in the world, and then sharing your own with them. Because actually, the more you get to know how weird somebody is and how, you know, they do things differently, and how, you know, you are about to spend time with somebody who is the main character in their own movie and will always be, at the same time, you will always be the main character in your own movie, and figure out how you can play both your different games together.
That's really nice, mate. That's actually lovely. And you are lovely.
Yeah, and
you are actually very, I've known you for a long time. And I'm just going to say, and again, we're obviously, me and Jay, both very open. And I don't even like the word tolerance. That means you tolerate someone. I don't tolerate people. I'm just kind of like, cool, whatever you're into is cool. If it makes you happy, I'm all for it. But, you know, I think, you know, you're a lovely human, Jay. And, you know, obviously my bread's not buttered that way. But you're, you know, you're the top of my list if I had to. Gun to the head, you know, I think you'd be an incredibly loving partner, and, you know, we could go for a workout in the morning. I'd have plenty of time to myself because I like a lie-in. Like, yeah, Jay, you know, you'd definitely get it.
Well, thanks, Dan.
You're welcome, thanks, babe.
So over to you, Dan. Thoughts on Valentine's Day, for one, thoughts on relationships and some of the things.
So Valentine's Day is, you know, we all know, it's a manufactured holiday. It was invented, you know, it's not a traditional thing. I think it was like invented by Hallmark cards, I believe, to sell more cards. And obviously it's become a global phenomenon. There's also chaps, just going to say this one for yourselves, or very awesome ladies. March the 14th, just Google what that is, because that's a different type of day, which you can find out with your own recognizance, because that's one that's slightly more aimed towards the gents. But me personally, I actually really like Valentine's Day. I know, I'm fully aware that it's cheesy. I'm fully aware that it's made up. I am fully aware that restaurants and everything put their prices up, and I'm fully aware of it. And do you know what? I fucking love it. I think it's a fun day for me personally, whether I'm with someone or not. I like it. I've for many years, I used to run Dating with Dan in my Facebook group, Coffee with Dan, which was all the single entrepreneurs and personal development fans could pitch themselves in there for a date. And there's actually quite a few relationships that come off the back of it, and one marriage, which is kind of fun, just off the back of a thread in a group, which I used to do on Valentine's Day, which is always fun. So for me personally, I love it, but I'm quite happy to say that I am a little bit of a cheese ball. I like romance. I like romantic gestures. I think it's fun. I personally enjoy it. I know some people can't stand it, and I will, you know, and also I remember when I've been single myself on Valentine's Day, I used to go to Marks and Spencer's, I'd buy the Valentine's Day special, and I would just eat the fucking lot, and it was brilliant. But I did find myself getting, you know, a little bit jaded to love. You know, I'm very, you know, I've always been open on the podcast, and, you know, I've, you know, been open with my ups and downs, and I've had, you know, dated people throughout this podcast, which I've kind of intimated at points, and I feel, you know, person that I've met recently was through a mutual introduction. So proper old school way of doing it. And, you know, I think she's wonderful. Long may it continue. But I'm a, you know, I did find myself, I'd probably say if I'd have met 3 months ago, probably not in the right place, because I wasn't, you know, I realized I was really happy on my own. And I generally am really happy on my own. You know, I like my own company. I've got a lovely life, lovely house, lovely car, lovely family, lovely friends, lovely hobbies, all awesome. And I realized that actually made me quite hard to date, because if you're going to come into my world and me into yours, you have to make my world better, as in not be, you know, subservient or do things for me. It's like, you know, my life is already cool. It's got to make it even cooler and even more awesome than it already is. And one of the things, you know, I have, you know, made mistakes before, and, you know, chosen people based on, you know, certain attributes or looks or that initial attraction. And I got really clear on what it is I actually wanted. And this is an exercise that I actually did. And I remember thinking to myself, and this was last year, and I was in a good place. I was in a good place. And I thought, what is the sort of person that I want? You know, I want someone who understands my job, who is, you know, into their health and fitness, not obsessively, but, you know, likes to look after themselves. I wanted someone who was, I'm just going to put it under the umbrella of fun, and you can read into that between what you want. I wanted someone who wanted to have a family, and I also wanted someone who wanted to grow with me, you know, someone who maybe was interested in the business side of things as well. And I thought, cool. Then I decided to look at myself, and I thought, am I the person that person wants? And you know what? A big chunk of it was yes, but some of it was no. And I didn't beat myself up about it. I didn't think I deserved anything. It was just like, as if something wasn't working, you know, perfectly in one of my businesses, for example. Okay, I thought, cool. Well, that person probably wants 70% of me where I am now. So I'm going to work on that 30% and tune that up, and, you know, work on those areas and work on some of those issues and polish off some of those rough edges. And then made sure that, I mean, we were talking in the previous podcast about having, you know, your base layer all sorted. So I had all my bases covered. I was sleeping well. I was healthy. I had good friends, good connections, good hobbies. Business was good. Everything was in the right place for me to meet that person. And again, I, do you know what? This, I cringe at this because it's, we'll have all have heard this advice before. And that they're like, you know, people who say it's like, oh, love turns up or the person turns up when you're not looking for it the most. It's like, well, I've got to fucking find them. I can't just sit in my fucking house and wait for them to turn up. You fucking idiot. But, sorry, slight rage there. But again, I wasn't really looking. I wasn't looking. It was just happened to, you know, see someone at an event. They saw me. My friend, you know, let me know that there was a connection there, introduced us, and then that's where we've gone from. But you've also, again, this happened to be an event. Remember I said I've always said that there were a lot of entrepreneurs and coaches at as well. So one of the things I was looking for is someone who understood me and my life, because I know I've struggled in relationships in the past because it's quite an, you know, obviously Anna's been with you a long time and been all the different permutations of Jay, but it's quite an unusual life you lead when you have a business and a job like ours, which is predominantly online, you know, doing things like webinars and creating courses. It's different. You know, most people, majority of people are employed. And, you know, I realized I actually would be great if I could meet someone who does something similar to me or something online, because that way we can explore the world together. We could do things and we both understand each other's problems. Like, I don't know if you ever get like this. Obviously it's different because you've got little ones and obviously a wife, but you know, when you spend all day aggressively helping others with their problems and their needs, which is fine, which I fucking love my job. I love being a coach. Sometimes I don't want to talk to anyone, and that's not because I'm in a bad mood. It's just that I've left it, you know, much like you and your jiu-jitsu. You haven't mentioned jiu-jitsu in the last couple of sessions. Are you okay? If you need to talk about that, that's fine. Please feel free to bring that in. Hashtag lol. But, you know, you leave it all on the mat. So by the end of the day, you know, obviously sometimes people want to have a conversation. How's your day? Catch up, that kind of stuff. I don't want to talk to anyone. And it's not because I'm in a bad mood. It's just there's no Dan left. And all I want to do is watch another episode of The Expanse and have a snack. That's it. And it's nice to meet someone who understands yeah. that. So, but yeah, it was a very reflective period for me to get to where I am.
I disagree and I challenge you on that.
On which point, buddy?
On expecting somebody to be quiet after you've had a busy day. And I think this is such an important thing to talk about. Exactly what you said there is one of the biggest issues that I had to overcome. And okay. It was giving myself to people who don't matter whatsoever in the grander scheme of things of my life, other than paying my bills.
I know what you mean.
Which is not as important. And this is the thing, and this is a mistake that I made mm-hmm. a lot, is that my clients and my business would get the best of me.
Yeah.
And then the people close to me would get the leftovers.
Right.
And actually, it's this kind of thing that I say to people, this, and it is just, and I got this from Brendan Burchard, and it is this: if you are driving home after an exhausting, busy day, please park your car, give yourself 5 minutes, and you say to yourself, I know how I want to walk in this house and or this flat or this apartment or this cave or wherever it is that you are. But what I am doing in that situation is I am basically forcing my main character shit on everyone.
Ah, I get it.
But in actual fact, I've forgotten that that other person is the main character and you don't know what's gone on in their world. They could have had the shittest day in the world mm-hmm. and they haven't spoken to anybody that they love and can connect with. And they're really, really looking forward to seeing Dan come back and listen to how their day has been and help offload some of their frustration and anxieties and fears for the day. And then in walks Dan going, don't talk to me. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to watch my movies because I've had a busy day because I'm the main character. My day's busier and more important and better than yours. Be quiet. That's how relationships don't last.
Right. I think I didn't explain myself as fully. So what I've been in that situation before, when I've had someone who, say, worked a normal 9-to-5 job, or, you know, a previous partner of mine who was an early starter, and I'm full of beans at the end of the day, and they were like, I started at 5. They started at 5, and I would start at like 8. Okay, so, you know, totally different dynamic. What for me I meant was, and the thing that's been something that I was looking forward to, is having someone who understands that some days, because I have a peopled quite a bit, I still want to people with them, but it might be just a quick chat or on Messenger or something like that. And for me, it's that communication piece and having the same communication style and understanding, because we, you know, in this instance, we both have similar type jobs. That's been something that I've realized I didn't know that I needed until I've experienced it. And I was like, they get me, I get them. It works really well. But kind of like, you know, a really good friend of mine, who's moving in with her partner soon, realized, you know, that the energetics side of thing is also really important as well. So we've all heard the kind of opposites attract side of things. And, you know, again, you know, I'm sure you've got plenty of friends who have, you know, one partner's very more extrovert and the other is a little bit more introvert. But for me, and like for my friend as well, the reason her and her chap are doing so well when they're moving in together and they've got this lovely future planned is because they get up at the same time, go to the gym, they both like routine, their energies are very, very similar. They have very little friction in the relationship because they kind of have similar kind of routines and times. And that's something that I've realized that I've tried to bend myself and mold myself to others, whereas actually I need someone like, I'm a high energy person, yeah? Doesn't mean I don't like doing nothing and chilling out and relaxing, but I'm like up for life. I always want to do stuff. I'm openly quite excitable. Okay, so I realized actually for me, I need someone who's got a little bit of that energy about them as well, and equally has a similar kind of way of running life, because that's something that I've done wrong before. You know, I've met people who are super morning people. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I'm not that person. And, you know, for me, I needed someone who kind of matched, you know, my cycles, my energetics, my lifestyle to a degree. And that's why, you know, touch wood so far, you know, hope all along may it continue. It's working really, really well so far. But it's something that I think people often don't look at, is how well you match on an energy and an attitude and a drive side of things as well. Because, you know, in this instance, we're both equally driven. We both want to do things. Our goals align, our plans align. And, you know, you do need that match as well in the initial stakes as well. And I think sometimes, especially when if you've been single for a little period of time, or, you know, you are doing the apps, and we've spoken about that on a previous podcast, you can sometimes make, what's the word I'm looking for here? Allowances for things that you might just are not really good for you, or maybe not ideal as a match for you, because you're kind of like, well, you know, slim pickings out there, kind of this person fulfills X amount of percent of my wants and needs, seems fairly interested. I guess I'll just have to put up with those other things. And, you know, I've been in that situation before, and I'm 100% sure people that I've dated have been in that situation with me before, you know, putting up with my energy and my Dan ways and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I will say, putting yourself out there, making yourself the best version of you, not being someone different, but, you know, being the person that you're, someone that you think would be a really good match for you is, and actually working towards being that person, and not settling. And I'm not talking about, you know, I demand this high status, this or this look or whatever the fucking, you all see this fucking bullshit on these dating fucking twat podcasts. It's like, I want a high status. Oh, fuck off. Just does my head in seeing all that stuff. But realistically, you know, it's not settling. You know, you date someone, you meet someone, you see if it works out for a bit. And if it's not a good fit, that's okay. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean they're a bad person. But, you know, I will say, not settling and kind of looking for that right person whilst improving yourself and being the sort of person that that right person wants was a shift that I had over the last year or so. And for me personally, has really worked out well.
Yeah. So there's a few things to talk about with that. Once again, you know, one of the reasons that I was saying that kind of disagreement and feedback is just for other people to think, fuck, actually I do that because everybody does this.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, like what you have to understand, and I learned this from Alain de Botton, is that love is a skill to be learnt, not just an emotion to be felt. And I literally stopped in my tracks listening to a podcast and had written that down because it's so true. You know, when we're at school, we learn about fucking history, we learn about maths, but we don't learn about how, you know, profit, loss, we don't learn balance sheets, we don't learn how to run a fucking business,
sleep, and then, nutrition, for fuck's sake, seriously, all the stuff that we're actually
but we don't learn about love.
Stick a condom on a fucking banana.
No, yeah, well, that's sex. Sex and love are two different
things. Exactly, but that's what we get shown.
Yeah, and it's this kind of thing that, you know, I have people, once again, this thing, and it does sound right, but once again, our challenge it is that person just gets me. Mm. And that can be a chink in the armor of your relationship because your assumption is that that person just understands who I am as a person. There will be a moment in time where that person does some main character shit that triggers and affects you so much because you assumed that they got you.
Mm.
When in actual fact, all they're doing is just doing their own main character shit. And actually, you saying they just get me also means that you should get them.
Yep.
And actually, you getting triggered by them not getting you means that you don't get them. Once again, you're the person who's getting angry at this. When in actual fact, you should be getting angry at yourself because if you knew that person so well, you would know
why they're doing the things they're doing.
And just because someone does something against what it is that you're doing, don't go into this sudden overthinking thing of going, is this relationship going to last because of that one thing?
Mm.
It might be a little thing and it could compound over time. And what I mean by this, I did share an incredible podcast with you, which I highly recommend listening to, Dan. And it's about a New York lawyer who basically has been a divorce lawyer for 20 years, and his take on love is very much, it's incredible because obviously he's in and out of courtrooms with people getting divorced. And he asked this woman, he goes, do you know when it started to end the relationship? And she said it all started with cereal, and it sounds stupid, but
as in breakfast,
she
cereal.
Has a breakfast cereal. And basically what she said was, I have this particular breakfast cereal, and for the last 5 years of the relationship, he's always filled it up. He's always looked in the cupboard and seen when it's empty, and it's always been filled up when it's near empty. And it's just a little thing, but it's what what I loved about him, just that one little thing. And she knew that relationship was over when months went by and she ended up having to fill it up herself. And then, of course, found out that he was having an affair, and then their marriage split. So that one little thing, once again, compounded over time. Mm. And once again, be careful. It's like if someone doesn't fill your cereal up, doesn't mean that they're cheating. But
yeah.
What she was talking about was just these little things that can be rectified, which people don't because they're assuming the other person does. And actually probably her fault was that should have been a sign to actually communicate more effectively with that person instead of just, you know, just going, oh, you know, he should have filled my cereal up. But one of the things he said about marriages and that is this, I always call this Japanese thing called lingchi. And what lingchi was an old Japanese torture method called death by a thousand cuts. And it's not, you know, this one cut that kills you. It's all these little thousand nicks that eventually you bleed out and die. Mm. And of course, horrible torture, but it's very much the same with relationships. They involve work. They involve communication. And if something's not working, don't ignore it. Address it. Work together and communicate. And of course, get to know that person's, you know, things that you like and things that you loathe, because you're going to have to deal with the things that you loathe too. Because that is part of a relationship. It's not just, you know, finding the one and it being happily ever after. It's putting up with an element of their shit as well, and looking at it as an endearing thing as well.
And I will say as well, I've got friends who've been, you know, I've got my boys chat, and most of them are, all of them, bar myself and another chap who is a fan of the gentleman and has no desire to do such things. So are all married with kids and stuff like that. And, you know, the ones that seem to be, you know, the happiest as well. I mean, they communicate incredibly well. They, you know, a few of them sort of take it in turn. So one will shoulder effort and strain for a period of time. You know, they'll give each other time and space and do stuff. But you know what's a really key theme between a lot of the people I see who have good relationships? Firstly, I mean, they do actually have a pretty healthy sex life. They still make time to be intimate together and date each other and actually, you know, romance and stuff. You know, it's harder when you have kids and family, but they do actually make time to still be, you know, intimate and close and romantic with one another. But also they make time to have fun together. They actually enjoy one another's companies. They go on dates, they go on holidays, they do fun things. You know, yes, obviously, if you've got kids and so on and so forth, you know, they take up a lot of your time and energy and stuff, but they make time for each other as a couple as well. And I've seen that as a kind of real good, you know, I've got quite a few friends who have got families and kids and commitments and jobs and all this kind of good stuff, but they make time for one another as a couple, and they remember, you know, why they got together, and they actually enjoy doing things together. And yes, obviously it's difficult when you've got, you know, little ones running around, especially in those early days, but that's another key thing, is just making sure you still make time to actually, you know, date your partner, have fun with them, and actually just be a couple. It's really important that you do. Is it like you mentioned there about, you know, giving people what's left, is also putting time aside. And, you know, you've probably heard other sort of people talk about this, ideas about putting, you know, date nights in and actually blocking out time and actually having time where you can be a couple and actually giving someone the best of you. It's, you know, time and attention is so powerful. And I know, you know, I've done this myself. You know, I've, you know, earned well for a long period of time, and I've kind of felt like, you know, nice holidays and gifts and spending money was, you know, my love language is very much gifts. I like to gift things and treat people to things. Whereas actually some of the relationships that didn't go well just wanted my time, wanted my attention, wanted my presence, you know, not wanted me not on my phone working or doing something. They just wanted to be with me, and I didn't see it until it was too late.
And yeah, and I think it's just, there is no book on this shit, because we're all different. We all have different wants and needs. We all have different, you know, things that we like and dislike. And it's not easy to find somebody. You know, it's probably much easier 50 years ago, because you've made a lot more and you didn't. Well, but then this is the problem as well with 2024. I mean, I've fortunately never downloaded a dating app, but it's just analysis paralysis. You know, you're just looking for perfection. And, you know, people say, as you said, don't settle. It's just like, well, you know, there are certain things that you're going to have to settle for, but then also have a list of non-negotiables, have things which you will hold yourself and that other person to a standard, but also you might need to let go of a few things too, because it might just be those one or two little things that's stopping you from finding the one.
And I'll sort of say this as well, because that's a beautiful comment. And, you know, Jay has been in, you know, a long, you know, 24 year plus relationship, you know, two kids.
26 this year.
26. And, you know, I'm very fortunate to be good friends with Jay for a long time now, you know, stayed at his home, hung out with his kids, his wife, you know, they're lovely, you know, Jay, you know, doing well. You know, you're a good guy, Jay, and I really like you and Anna, and I think your children are awesome. The genetics on your kids are obscene, like ridiculous. Like that little picture of you and your daughter with her flexing. I was just like, yep, got dad's genetics on the old biceps then. But, you know, you've done a great job. And, you know, for as me as the kind of person who's been, you know, single for a little bit more longer than maybe I've wanted to, I've still had relationships and dated. But, you know, all being well, I feel very positive about where I'm at and the direction things are going right now. But, you know, I found myself at one point, and I'm a very positive person, and I'm very, you know, I kind of always try and see the good in things, but I did find myself kind of like it's kind of like going back to a bit of a boxing analogy. I've taken a few like body shots and, you know, you can get hit in the head and obviously get knocked out and stuff, but getting hit in the face isn't so bad. The ones that hit the body knock the wind out of you and it can kind of really slow you down and really make you not want to get up. And I wouldn't say I'd lost hope, but I was starting to not want to get up and not able to get up as quick as I could after the knockback. So, you know, in a sort of my sort of closing statement for this one is just don't give up. You know, there are wonderful people out there. You know, so many people want to meet their person, you know, want to be in a relationship. You may be absolutely perfect as you are right now for the right person, but equally, you know, look internally. If you keep meeting the wrong people or you're not attracting the people you want, it doesn't mean you're bad or broken or fucked up. Maybe it just means you need to do a little bit of work on yourself for a period of time and become the version of you that you, you know, you'd like to be, that your person might want to attract. And you just never know. And honestly, a bit of a humorous fun on this one, don't be afraid to ask for referrals, okay? Ask your mates who they know. If you go to, don't, like I said, I've talked about this in my book, but being shameless and talking to people and having conversations, and you know, you never know where things are led. If I hadn't have been, so I wouldn't have met the person, you know, who's in my life right now.
I think that's such an important thing and great to finish on, because if you are, if you have a friends network of people that you trust that are good people, chances are that they don't hang around with bellends. And actually, if they know some people, then they've already been vetted as, you know, as the same. So yeah. Referrals, I like that, Dan. Ladies and gents, bit of a different one to what you, the title is. And,
yeah.
And I think it's just an important thing to talk about and figure out. I think the deeper that you find out about yourself, your vulnerabilities, your flaws, and what makes you mad, you'll be able to communicate that more effectively with somebody else that's mad, and then you can live old and be mad together.
And for me, just a little tip. So it's just a little tip, and this is for, you know, those of you, obviously, we talk about, you know, we didn't really talk anything about the sort of the intimate or physical side of things. Just a little tip for the gents out there. If she says she's close, add another 5 to 10 minutes and you're pretty much going to be on point. So a bit of advice for you there. Sorry. I've been so good during this episode.
Ladies and gents,
I'm not wrong.
Really hope you've enjoyed this and you don't unsubscribe after that comment. And
hey, listen, I want everyone to have fun. Sometimes you just gotta, you know, grit your teeth, knuckle down, and do the work. Sorry.
Ladies and gents, I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Body and the Beast. I've been your body, Jamie Ullerton,
and I've been your beast, Dan Meredith. Take care.